voters have little more than a month before the September 1st primaries, and Senator Ed Markey and Representative Joe Kennedy continue to struggle to differentiate themselves in a race for the U.S. Senate, a seat that Markey currently holds. The two squared off last night in the latest Democratic debate, and though sparks did fly, it's not clear whether that's going to be enough to start any fires for either candidate with Democratic primary voters who may still be undecided. So joining us to talk about the state of the race is WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Anthony, welcome.
Hi, Tiziana.
So, Anthony, you've covered lots of campaigns. How would you describe the mood and tone of this primary right now?
Well, I guess, you know, a couple of ways to answer that. If you talk about the sort of energy in the debate, it's getting pretty angry. But, you know, I've been saying from the beginning that this is a tough race for Massachusetts Democrats to process because, you know, despite all the heat in these debates, and there was surely some heat last night, Markey and Kennedy agree on just about every major issue. So, you know, do you give credit to Markey for being one of Washington's most consistent progressives? And if you do, why do you throw him out of office? Or do you buy Kennedy's argument that Markey's part of this old system that got us to where we are today and it's time for new leadership? And Kennedy's a guy who kind of looks like new leadership, and he's a Kennedy. But I come back to this idea. At the end of the day, there aren't like some huge defining political issue around policy that separates them, not at all. So it's a confusing race, I think.
That is interesting. Let's talk a little bit about where they are trying to land blows. The Boston Globe is out with a new report today analyzing Markey's travel records, which was something he had promised to put out in the last debate. It finds he spends less time in Massachusetts than the rest of the delegation. It really struck out to me that in 2017, he spent just 77 nights in his home state. How is he responding to these accusations and to this data?
Yeah, I mean, this analysis from the Globe of these travel records is interesting. You mentioned a fact there that's important. You know, I would put it this way. So from January 2017 through this past spring, that's a 2.5-year period, Markey spent less than a third of his time at his Malden home. The rest of the time, he was living in Chevy Chase, Maryland. So at a campaign event in Medford just today, I asked Markey about this, and he defended all that time out of state and said he sought to balance the time between Washington and Massachusetts. Here's a bit of what he said.
I've managed this balance between Washington and Massachusetts throughout the years, and obviously I do so in partnership with all of these local officials. And I think ultimately the question is going to be, did I deliver? Then I stand up and fight for and deliver for these communities. And I have done that over and over again.
And Tiziana, we should mention that Markey was speaking there in Medford, where a bunch of local officials, including the mayor of Medford, the state senator there, gave him credit for, among other things, securing hundreds of millions of dollars in federal spending for the Green Line extension. So this is the kind of thing that Markey talks about, that he's not only leading, he's delivering. And that was part of his defense today.
But this is a place where Kennedy is going after him, trying to distinguish himself. Is that right?
No, it's absolutely a place where he's doing that. You heard it in the debate last night. You know, Kennedy is accusing Markey of absentee leadership, and he's saying that it's important to be here in the state. And, you know, I think by releasing these travel records, it's just going to give Kennedy more fuel to pound away on this issue. Here he is speaking at the debate last night.
I went around the country trying to campaign for other Democrats so that we could regain control and pass a progressive agenda. Senator Markey, by his own campaign's admission, went nowhere. But he wasn't at home either. You talk to folks around Western Massachusetts. You talk to folks across communities like Roxbury and Dorchester and Mattapan and Springfield and Worcester. And he wasn't there. There is so much more that is needed at this moment than just somebody that files the right bill and says that that's enough.
So, you know, Kennedy later in that debate said, you know, we need to have elected officials who are, in fact, hearing the concerns across our Commonwealth and advocating for those voices. And his claim is that by spending so much time out of state, Markey isn't doing that.
So we said we were going to try to sort of illustrate the blows they're both trying to land. So what blows is Markey trying to land? How is he painting
Kennedy? Yeah, well, Markey's main pitch that he has a long record of successful progressive leadership, and this goes way back to the nuclear freeze movement in the 1980s. More recently, he co-sponsored Medicare for All and the Green New Deal with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He's pushed for net neutrality and LGBTQ rights. And his main case against Kennedy is that the congressman doesn't have a credible record as a progressive, that he's shifted positions over time. For example, he points out that after Kennedy graduated from law school, he went to work for Cape and Islands District Attorney Michael O'Keefe, a tough law and order conservative. And there have been other policies that Kennedy has shifted his stance on. And Markey asked the question last night in the debate, you know, was this political convenience, you know, or was it conviction? And obviously his suggestion is that it's political convenience so that he can, so that he can get into the Senate.
You know, I don't think that the stakes are low here, but as you talk about them trying to distinguish themselves from each other, I think about when I was in academia, there was a saying that the battles are so fierce because the stakes are so low. And I do find, you know, in you talking about this battle over who's more progressive when they hold similar policies, is one of them more progressive than the other?
Well, it depends who you talk to. So it's interesting. I mean, if you say they're both progressives, and I've said this in my reporting, I got absolutely hammered on Twitter by Markey supporters who, you know, basically say it's just absolutely absurd to call Kennedy a progressive because of some of his past positions, and because Markey, does deserve this reputation as a solid, consistent progressive advocate in Washington for decades. Now, that said, there are places that actually measure. There's a website, and I'm blanking on the name, that actually scores progressive votes in Congress. And Markey got like a 98% score, and Kennedy got a 97% score. So in terms of how they vote and the issues they support, they're very, very similar. But I think it is fair to say that, you know, Markey's been in office since before Kennedy was even born. He's been in Washington since before Kennedy was even born. He has a much longer record as a progressive. I think you can say that without getting much debate. So that's where it is. But again, on the issues, there's not a dime's width between them.
So then we've got to turn to, you know, the differentiation that we can see. I'm thinking, you know, polling numbers, fundraising numbers. According to that stuff, where does the race stand right now?
Well, when Kennedy jumped into this race, he jumped out, according to the polls, with a pretty sizable lead. And a lot of that had to do with just because how well Kennedy's name polls in this state. You know, if you're young, if you're handsome, and you're named Kennedy, you're going to poll better than just about anyone in the state. But as the race went on, that difference tightened. And the last poll, which is still months ago before the pandemic, showed that it had tightened quite a bit. So we don't have recent polling numbers. My guess is it's close. In terms of the fundraising numbers, Markey might even have a slight edge. The Markey people are very happy with the latest quarter that not only showed them raising a lot of money, but lots of donations and small amounts of donations. But they're basically tied in terms of their fundraising. Markey had a slight edge. Now, Markey is out with his first ad in the race, and it's a clear response to Kennedy's attacks because he really plays up his Malden roots and service to the community. We can listen to a little bit of that if you want.
This is where I'm from. My father was a milkman. I drove an ice cream truck to pay for college. Lessons I learned here still drive me today. Don't be scared of the tough fights. That's why I was an original sponsor of Medicare for All, and why I wrote the Green New Deal to fight climate change. Remember where you come from. Stand up for people counting on you, and always be a leader in the fight for justice.
Now, Tiziana, of course, you can't see the ad, but among other things, you see Markey walking through the gritty streets of Malden. His sleeves are rolled up. He's wearing his Air Jordans, which is a very Malden kind of thing. And the ad makes the point that not only this is where he's from, but how different his blue-collar background is from Kennedy's world of privilege. But in a campaign between two people who agree on most major issues, you know, Kennedy is hoping to convince voters that by spending so much time away from Massachusetts, Markey, yes, he's the son of a milkman, but he's also become a creature of Washington. So we'll see if that sticks. But that's clearly what Kennedy is hoping to do here.
Well, we'll keep watching it with you. That's WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Thanks a lot, Anthony.
My pleasure, Tiziana.